Hey guys, what's going on? This is going to be an episode on like what the fuck is going on in Europe edition, and then what's going on with France, because it's looking quite saucy and really not good. Like, I don't know if this is just a routine cause, an effect of other governments going full-fledged trying to break encryption, authoritarian mode. But France backdoor, man, it's kind of insane. And Tutanota did a really good article on it. I'm gonna summarize it, give my thoughts, and then harp down the issue that is kind of like happening right now. And this is like going to be like no hate towards anyone, but France is pretty much about to pass the worst surveillance law in the EU. At Tutanota, they're pretty much obviously I switched over to them for a good amount of reasons. But essentially there is this law, it's going to be an amendment to this law called the Narco Traffic Law. So France is about to amend a bill against drug trafficking called the Narco Traffic Law, which will force encrypted messages like apps like Signal and WhatsApp to backdoor encryption for being able to hand over decrypted chat messages of suspected criminals within 72 hours for a natural person's and a fine up to 2% of the annual world turnover for legal persons. The amendment has already been passed by the Senate and is now moving fast to the National Assembly. France, together with other nations, have made some success in recent years with EncroChat and Anom. If you don't know about those, you should go look into them. They're interesting stories. Breaking the encryption for criminals, app built for criminals, for criminals, by criminals, for criminals, is something entirely different compared. It's not the same context. Even then, like, I wasn't in favor of the government taking people. Turning them into essentially mole operations and using criminals to break encryption in a sense. Like they could have continued to scale this into regular people's hands. I just don't think that there's ever going to be a point in society where it's not going to be abused. Cool that they, I mean, just catch the criminals in a million different ways without breaching the privacy of your citizens. And breaching the encryption, because I think everybody ought to have the right for they ought to have the right to encryption, they ought to have the right to privacy, and they ought to have the right to security. We should never paywall security, and we should never paywall privacy. I think it's just should be we should be granted it and protected under the form of a constitution, et cetera, et cetera. This is somewhat of an issue that also happened back in 2016. If you want to, like, obviously just read to another blog on it, but 2016, France wanted to crack smartphones and impose a fine on them too. Almost a decade ago. Which is the it's they're banned, they're not banned, they were pretty much crack smartphones encryption, and I'm going to read a snippet of it just to show how they luckily rejected this, but and thank God they did. They pretty much wanted to put a backdoor in smartphones in around 2016. The prime minister proposed a law that would fine 1.5 million euros or something for anyone who didn't hand over the encryption keys for smartphones. And this again creates a dangerous precedent that you you can't do this ethically. I mean, even when the NSA was spying on us, there it was probably being abused on many levels, listening to conversations that would have been more like private. And it's not just about, look, what if you do something illegal and you don't get caught, whatever, and then it becomes legal, but they were spying on you? Like, what if you were smoking weed when weed was illegal? You were talking about weed. You were getting weed illegally. A victim, like, the only victim that's coming in this is, like, yourself. And you take that, and now, and like, now they have, like, hours of conversation of you smoking weed, and before it becomes legal, they criminalize you, impound you, you go to prison, and what, et cetera, and they're like, nope, it's legal now. And you know what I mean? Or even stuff that you say, like, privately that maybe you don't agree with or out of context, and it gets leaked, and now your employer finds out and fires you, et cetera. I mean, we could swing this as many ways as possible. Even worse, out of context, you get like arrested or whatever. I mean, that's the point of private conversations. Like, if I'm having a conversation, what's the point of rights if you don't have the ability, if you don't have privacy? If you don't have privacy, you fundamentally do not have rights. If you don't have access to security and secure communications, you might as well throw your rights out, because then everything is going to be open and into the public, when you ought to have the decision making and what makes that happen. Now, I'm going to give some options out there that are, I think, that are a little bit more decentralized when it comes to this. First, you have to ask yourself, like, what is decentralization? Decentralization, actual decentralization, is essentially no one controls the servers. There's no central authority. Even Tor in itself is somewhat centralized. They control the nodes to a high amount of the nodes. They control the code. They dictate a lot of things. I believe they also, it's every 10 minutes that they, if I'm not mistaken, every 10 minutes they choose the set of operators you use. Like, they cycle through, it's random, so that no operator is consistent, and it helps with the anonymity, etc. Like, I run a guard relay, etc., etc. And I mean, the Tor Foundation is still a company, and there is somewhat centralization in it. Now, you have I2P. In my opinion, I think it is somewhat more decentralized. You could get on the scale of, like, what is decentralized, what is more decentralized, what is more obtainable, etc. I mean, it's a scale. Does it mean that one is better than the other? Not really. It just kind of depends on, like, what is your goal in mind. Now, there is a few options you have out there when it comes to encrypted chat. I think you should always use encrypted chat when you have the option to. Like, I refuse to talk to anyone that isn't using Signal. That's just my personal preference. It's worked for me. If people don't want to use Signal, then they cannot get a hold of me. I will not prioritize them. They'll have to call me. I will not text them, because I think that, to me, that's important. But the problem is, Signal is somewhat centralized. I mean, the Signal Foundation owns it. They threaten to pull out of the France because of this. I think they're threatening to, because they don't want to ever break their encryption for anyone. And even when Apple stepped back from the UK and got rid of ADP, which is unfortunate, I think that I think they could have been a little bit more, what's the word? They could have been a little bit more problematic with it, like a little bit maybe more pushbacky. But again, I'm not there, and Apple has to make decisions that's within their best interest. If they would have done this and, say, just complied with the French government, the UK government, and just put it in an update, who knows how far they could have gone with that. They could have done this with U.S. citizens. I mean, there's no stopping them. It's code. They can make it look like it's normal. It's not impossible. People with the Anom phone thought that the chat was end-to-end encrypted, and it looked normal when it was really not. That's a very scary thought. You're putting a lot of trust into these apps that they're doing their job, and there's nothing malicious in the background. But this is why somewhat decentralization kind of solved, kind of. Open source and decentralization kind of solve it. It's not a silver bullet solution, because we've already seen backdoors put into code that has been sitting there for years. Like Go had the Golang programming language had a backdoor in it. There's a really good article that I did read about how the creator of C could put a backdoor in the compiler, and no one would ever know because it's the compiler. And they could write it in a way that would theoretically be very undetectable. I mean, you're putting a lot of trust into these services, so you have to really think about it. I think that there are some better chat options out there that give you a little bit more control and decentralize everything within its nature. The Hated One did a okay video, in my opinion, on what he considers to moving to. I disagree with the self-hosting part. I think he's wrong. I don't think it's a silver bullet, but I think his take is completely wrong. I think that you self-hosting, even though you self-hosting doesn't always have to equal a server or VPS or something in the cloud or in another country. It really can boil down to being able to encrypt everything locally, and no one's going to know, like get 7-zip or like some, PicoCrypt or VeraCrypt, and just put all your photos and everything locally on a flash drive and encrypt it and then store it somewhere else at a friends or relatives that you trust. And if it's encrypted, it's fine. I mean, you're generally safe. It could just be, you could even do plausible deniability and put hidden files on there, or stuff that look like a JPEG or a different file format, and it doesn't look like what you're trying to hide anything with PicoCrypt and VeraCrypt. So you have options out there. I don't think self-hosting is always going to be VPS cloud. If you self-host from your home, obviously you have to listen to your local laws, and it does become a little bit more complicated and nuanced in that. But me going out and buying a VPS can paywall people into this situation where it might not be financially affordable in their best interest. So this is where I would say decentralization comes in. Same thing with like cloud storage. If you're going to say, you have Apple's iCloud storage or like Google's, all you have to do is just get Cryptomator. You can keep your normal cloud storage. It doesn't matter if encryption is illegal or legal. You do all the encryption on the phone, client side, and then it sends it up to the cloud. So they're not doing the encryption. So who cares? What are they going to do? Steal your phone? You know what I mean? And if it gets that bad, I mean, then you probably shouldn't be using any cloud provider at all. But if you care about the privacy part and you want to take the encryption in your own hands, Cryptomator is our best tool right now that we have. It's very portable. It's free and open source. It's literally free, as in cost too. And not only that, you can actually pay them a one-time fee of $20. If you're looking for a other solution where they do the encryption also on the side, the client side, zero knowledge encryption. That's a kind of a loaded term, and it's, people have different opinions on what's considered zero knowledge. I think Filin is a good option, and if you want to get Filin, I believe Privacy Store, Proxy Privacy Store, Privacy Store does a really good, cool service where you can pay with Monero. I know people are a little worried, Proxy Store, of buying stuff. You know what I mean? Like, how is it gonna, how am I gonna digital goods proxy store, they're great. They have Cryptomator, they have private.storage. It's based on the open source software TalloFS. It provides strong end-to-end encryption, does not require any login or user accounts. You only pay for the space you use. A voucher can be purchased and redeemed. That's pretty awesome. I've never used private storage, private.storage.com. TalloLAFS is really cool project. It's decentralized storage. It's ran by node operators. It's kind of like StorageA or Filecoin. It's actually really sweet on how they do it. The architecture is really cool. I am not a very technical person when I read I read through this, and it's a lot of, it's really cool. It's a very interesting project, to say the least. The last update was 12/18/2024. They have a roadmap. They're free and open source. They're pretty much a decentralized cloud system, a decentralized cloud storage system. It distributes your data across multiple servers. Even if some of the servers fail or are taken over by attacker, the entire file store continues to function correctly, preserving your privacy and security. It's very cool. Very cool stuff. Everything is, from what I understand, end-to-end encrypted. So private.storage, apparently it's a way that you can get decentralized storage. So it's private by design, no monthly payment, our privacy is enhanced, no user account, client-side encryption. That's super important. All the files stored on private storage are automatically encrypted locally on your device before they are transferred. This means we cannot read your data and no one else can either. If they're open source, you know. Wow, this is actually good. Use anonymously, pay for only what you store. Storage and time pricing. For $6.50, you can store 30 gigs a month of data. For example, you could store about 30 gigs for 1 month, 10 gigs for 3 months, or 3 gigs for 10 months. That's pretty awesome. The pricing is not bad. 3 gigs might be say you have like 10, 15 gigs. And for $6.50, I mean, 10 gigs for 3 months, that's not bad. Like, they have pretty decent pricing. They have a roadmap. Again, I've never used it apparently they have a Android app too, which is nice. So that's something to think about. And you can go to digital goods. This is how you can buy that. You can buy Cryptomator too. You can buy the license. You can buy private, or you can use Kufar cloud storage. It's cloud storage you can access over the web. Via protocols like WebDev, rClone, perfectly suitable for syncing or backup. It works great with Cryptomator, which encrypts your data before uploading. The voucher codes, I mean, it's not bad. For 25 gigs for 12 months, total storage, $12. For a terabyte, 1 terabyte, 12 months, 120 euros. I mean, that's not terrible. They have email options, network, firewalls, VPNs, education, Pentest, you know, stuff like that. I use digitalgoods.proxystore a lot. I love them. I buy it. This is where, if you're asking me where I use, if you want to know where I use my Monero, I use it here. They're great. They have great support. They're great. Great service. I really do like them, and they have tons of other services. You can buy tons of stuff from them. Books, USB security tokens, Nitro keys, anything with Monero, you have an option to pretty much buy from them, which is, it's cool. I mean, that's like the point of Monero is you're allowed to, it gives you much more freedom. to help with the circular economy. But you know, that's a different, that's a whole different point. I definitely say that if you're looking for a cloud option, I would look into this in terms of like storage for your app. But if you're gonna use continue to use Apple or Google, just make sure that you get Cryptomator, and I'm gonna harp on this, and encrypt your stuff and just send it to the, like, and do the encryption yourself. Now for messaging, that's a completely different story. You have a few options. You don't have a lot, and they're not good. They're not all good. Signal is really the best. It's the best standard. It's why WhatsApp uses it. I'm going to give a few options. They're caveats. And some of this is going to be from privacy guides and just understanding like this as a whole. Now, is it going to be like, this is the best? It's kind of like, is Proton Drive better than Trezorit? No. They have their different options. There's PeerGoos. It's a decentralized protocol and open source platform for storage, social media, and applications. You know, is that better? No. It's like, what do you need? What do you need to do? And what are you trying to accomplish? Cryptomator is great. PicoCrypt is great. I love PicoCrypt. I use it. VeraCrypt. You have BitLocker. You have FileVault. You have, you know, Linux Unified Key Setup. Lux, like, and you have Cryptor, you know, PGP. They all have their options. But let's get back to the point. Now, if you are looking for photo management, Filin's out there. Entei, PhotoPrism, if you want to just do everything like locally, etc. If you want the best option for files, and you want to be as, I guess, like, just kind of like go through the list and see what meets your needs. Now, for encrypted messages, I'm just gonna jump to that, back to that. Encrypted messages, signals are best. It's literally the best protocol. The protocol is extremely secure encryption protocol. Other people have used it, which has, it has perfect forward secrecy. Forward secrecy is where the keys are rotated very frequently so that the current encryption key is compromised. It does not expose past messages as well. Future secrecy, or post-compromise security, is a feature where an attacker is prevented from decrypting future messages after compromising a private key. Unless they compromise more session keys in the future as well, this is effectively forces the attacker to intercept all communications between parties, since they lose access as soon as the key exchange occurs that is not intercepted. It's very simple to understand. You want forward secrecy. Decentralized, federated, P2P, open source servers, future-proof, future secrecy, and forward secrecy uses E2EE for all messages and supports all operating systems. That is the best case scenario. Not a lot of them do it. Signal is very based. If you want the FOSS version, there's Mali. It's an alternative Signal client, which allows you to encrypt the local database with a passphrase at rest. If you're worried definitely about local law enforcement stealing your phone, I would recommend this. Use Mali. I use Mali. I like it. It also has Unified Push. Unified Push is more open source and a little bit more private if you host your own. I've just always used it. Simple X is what I also use. Chat is an instant message server that doesn't depend on any unique identifiers such as phone numbers, usernames. It is a decentralized network. It makes SimpleXChat an effective tool against censorship. Remember that. SimpleX provides direct messaging, groups, chats, end-to-end calls secured with SimpleX messaging protocol, which uses the double ratchet encryption with quantum resistance. Additionally, SimpleX chat provides metadata protection by using the unidirectional SimpleX queues to deliver messages. To participate in conversation on SimpleX, you got to scan a QR code. I believe their protocol is based on the Signal protocol, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, though. Out-of-band messages, I thought it did. I thought it used Signal. But I'll have to read through that and think about that one. But SimpleX has been independently audited, and it's a great, 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 great option. There's Briar. It's an encrypted instant messenger that connects to other clients. It uses the Tor network. I don't know how good the encryption is, but it's got a local mesh mode that can be useful for when internet is a problem. It can be all locally. The client software is independently audited, and the anonymous routing protocol uses the Tor network as been audited. They've both been audited. Brian supports forward secrecy by using the Bramble handshake and transport protocol. These messages, now the next ones I'm about to talk to, even though they're decentralized, they do not have forward secrecy. And while they fulfill certain criteria needs, there are previous recommendations, you have to understand that. Element uses the Matrix protocol, an open standard. Messages and file shares are in private rooms. Those which require an invite are by default end-to-end encryption and are one-to-one voice and video calls. Profile pictures, reactions, and nicknames are not encrypted. That is something to keep understanding, that metadata is important. The Matrix protocol theoretically supports forward secrecy. However, this is not currently supported in Element. The protocol was independently audited in 2016. The specification for the Matrix protocol can be found for the documentation. The OLM cryptographic ratchet used by Matrix is an implementation of Signal's double ratchet algorithm. Double ratchet algorithm is kind of cool. Session is very decentralized message with a focus on private, secure, anonymous communications. It uses the decentralized Oxen service node network to store the route messages. Every encrypted message is routed through these nodes in the Oxen service node network, making it virtually impossible for these nodes to comply with meaningful information on using those networks. This is something that's really nice. Session allows for E2E in one-on-one chats or closed groups, which fall up to 100 members. It's also possible to set up or join open groups, which can host thousands of members. Session was previously based on Signal protocol before replacing it with their own December 2020. Session protocol does not support forward secrecy. I wish they didn't make their own personally. The overall security level of this application is good. It makes it usable for privacy-concerned people. They have a white paper describing it. Then there is another one that I will bring up called Quitch. And it is interesting. Now, what is Quitch? Quitch is a decentralized, open source, peer-to-peer messaging app. Participants in Quitch can host their own safe space, lend their infrastructure to others seeking for safe space. There is no Quitch service or Quitch network. The Quitch protocol is open. Anyone is free to build bots, services, and user interfaces integrated with the interact with Quitch. It's privacy preserving, metadata resistant. Quitch has been designed that no such information is exchanged or available to anyone without their explicit consent, including on the wire messages and protocol metadata. They have a really good, decent team. They have pretty much good documentation. They have a security handbook, developer guide, channel log, introduction. What is it? They have a good in-depth on their security, privacy, and underlying encryption technology. Something to think about. They have a nice layout. The thing is, you have to remember always, if these people, I don't know what they use for their encryption. If it's open, If it's open, then it doesn't matter. They have modern alternatives to pretty much RicoChat, including Briar, ZBay. I don't know what the fuck ZBay is. It is now quiet. We built tools, Torbase. Okay. Interesting. Quiet. Big tech, never look back. You know, stuff that's built on no servers based on Tor, controlling your own data. These are all things that you should take into consideration from a data perspective. My thing is, you have to remember that you are taking this into consideration. You are taking their security and their questioning and like how they implicate it, and you're trusting them that they're not doing the wrong thing. They're not putting a backdoor. The open source part isn't really the issue, because again, we've seen we've still seen like problems with that, like where, you know, backdoors exist in the open source world. But it's just something out there to think about. Weigh your options out. Look for stuff like Quiet, Matrix. I use Matrix. I believe Element 2 is doing encryption better. I believe their Element 2 app. They have like a way to... the Matrix stack, your front end conversations. I think they did something to make it more encrypted. And you can host it yourself. You have to remember that. If you can host it yourself, that gives you a lot better. They have a cloud option, self-hosted option, sovereign option. Free, cost, you know, it's all there. I think that's something that you need to take into consideration. If you can self-host it, that and it's encrypted by default, and it's encrypted at rest, then it doesn't really matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, it does not matter. That's the point. And it's a good alternative to stuff that like Signal. It's a good alternative to... it's a good alternative to a lot of things. Not that we need a million different, we don't need a million different types of, what do you call it, messaging apps. I agree with that. We don't need another messaging app. What we do need is, we need a good, healthy amount of competition. Because if we don't have that, then we're going to rely solely on Signal. Signal then has to buckle its shoes in places where they're like, you either comply or you leave. And then people are left in the dust with no good alternative option. That's my fear, is we're going to be put into a position where we become very heavily relied on Signal. They either financially collapse, maybe they have to... You know, these countries become super authoritarian, and they're like, you choose. You either comply with us or you leave, and you can't operate here. Now, obviously, there are relays, and Signal has some resiliency put up to prevent this. In Android, you know, you can download stuff outside of, like, the Play Store, so that gives you a little, but then you're not, you know, Mac or Windows or anything that relies on the App Store where you're guarding it, you have your wall guarding it. Makes it very difficult to really drive that home. And I don't really necessarily think people should have to go left, like, you know, do backflips to get good privacy and security. Just like how I'm against paywalling people into this and or gatekeeping and making it difficult. I don't like when it's also difficult for people. They have to go through like 30 steps. Now, obviously, you can still do PGP through email. proton to proton, two to NOTA, end-to-end encrypted. You can do a password. That would be maybe another, you know, email is very resilient and somewhat decentralized to a high-end degree. It's a protocol, so this is why you could, you know, do that. You have other options in terms of social media. You have, you know, Blue Sky, you have Mastodon, you have Nostr, where you can maybe communicate, obviously less sensitive topics, but it's harder to, when you limit, it's not just limiting encryption, it's eliminating the ability to communicate across borders. That's the point. When you eliminate the ability to cross borders in the digital space, you are fundamentally sectioning off your citizens from free of information. You're limiting not only the information that can reach people, you are fundamentally putting them almost in an intranet like society, kind of like China has done, and even I think Russia is starting to cut itself off more and more from the free internet, which is not a good thing. Then its citizens won't know anything outside, they won't have second opinions, and fundamentally they have to listen to all their own media, where they control what you can and cannot say, what you can and cannot do. They could rewrite history. These are all things that you should take into account for. That's just my thought process on it and how I view it. There is another option. It's more local, and it is not perfect encryption, and they even said themselves. There's Meshtastic. It's free and open source. It can be built on cheap hardware. And you can use it on web client, Android app, iOS. You can use it almost anywhere. I use Meshtastic. I like it. I love the range test that they're getting. It's super impressive. Like, holy sh! Like, I haven't checked a while on the website. Right now, the longest one is 205 miles. That's impressive. There's now a record holder, and it looks like they went over some water, which is super awesome. And I think that's super cool. There was, before that, it was 150 miles. So this person got an additional fucking 50, 60 miles almost. Yeah. Pretty much, yeah, 60. Oh, no. 205 versus 150. Okay, so 50. Yeah, 55 miles. That's awesome. And then there's people that did ground to air with like balloon. That's super cool. Meshtastic is a really cool project. There's also the Reculum network. This is decentralized. It's a long range protocol that uses LoRa. LoRa's not open source, I found out. So, you know, but there it's fine. The radios are designed to rebroadcast messages that they receive, forming a national network. This sets up to ensures that every group member, including those at the furthest distance, can receive messages. Additionally, Meshtastic radios can be paired with a signal phone, allowing friends and families to send messages directly to specific radios. It's important to know that each device is capable of supporting connection from only one user at a time. So that's something to think about. Their encryption, I believe they talk about this. This is something that you should take into consideration. because if you think that this is from an encryption point, like it's going to be like, this is the best. I would take that with a grain of salt. They even say it themselves, that it's not good. It provides AES-256 CTR encryption for the payload for each packet when sending via LoRa, with a different key for each channel. The packet hardware is always sent unencrypted, which allows nodes to relay packets they can't decrypt as well. One can disable the setting by rebroadcast mode. By default, you have one primary channel, which is encrypted with a simple known key QAQ to use proper encryption, you must change this key first, or create a new channel and share it with the ones you want to communicate with. However, if you don't take the default key, it means you will not be able to communicate with devices that don't have your key yet. It is as secure as Wi-Fi, WPA3, HTTPS, TLS 1.3, or Signal? No. WP3, TLS 1.3, Signal, and MeshTags can all use AES-256, yet AES is one of the many cogs that require in a modern encryption system. Below our main features are missing. It does not have perfect forward secrecy, also known as PFS, means that previous communications are, and more generally anything passively being captured cannot be decrypted, even when the key is compromised. This means MeshTastic is vulnerable to harvest now, decrypt later attacks. The attack itself is not enough to decrypt a message. It relies on another fail leaking the channel key, such as accidentally sharing the channel key with the wrong person, one of your nodes being stolen, an already unknown bug revealing the channel key tag to the attacker. Other protocols, such as misconfiguration TLS 1.2, are far more impacted. Harvest now, decrypt later. MeshTastic's encryption is considered quantum resistant, but the public-private key exchange for DMs is not. And current quantum resistant cryptography schemes don't fit in the LoRa packet to our IoT hardware. Realistic attack vectors include accidental mishandling of channel keys, nodes being lost, and the potential feature of quantum attacks on DM key exchange. Do not configure private channels on unattended nodes. Integrity means everything. Authentication means nodes say who they are on the network. MeshTask does not implement this, so it's trivial to impress it to pretty much improvise. Direct message encryption, each DM is encrypted. I mean, something like to think about. There is another project called the Reculum Network. Now, this is interesting. It might be even better. It doesn't send anything with the Reticulum Network enforces encryption. It's awesome. It uses it's all communicated with strong modern encryption by default. All encryption keys are ephemeral, and communication offers forward secrecy by default. It is not possible to establish an unencrypted link in the network. It is not possible to send unencrypted packets to any destination in the network. Destination receiving unencrypted packets will drop them as invalid. This is something to look into. I like it. It's like MeshTastic. I think this uses the Hilfen key, Dilfen fucker, whatever the fuck it's called. Regulum is simple. It uses ED25519 signatures, the key exchange, HKDF for key derivation, AES128 in CVC mode, SHA-256 for messaging authentication, SHA-256, SHA-512. In the default configuration, it pretty much provides strong encryption and PY's package. Really good hardware. You can use any Ethernet device, almost all Wi-Fi based hardware, LoRa using R nodes, packet radios, TNCs, KISS compatible hardware, software modems, any device with a serial port, TCP over IP networks, UDP over IP networks. You can do this over I2P, by the way, which is based, or you can just build your own node, like your own R node. It's really awesome. It's not complicated. You can do it with the Lily Tego. They have it's a self-replicating system. It's really awesome. You can buy them. They're just very, very expensive. It's better to just straight up make it yourself, so you understand. It has a realistic point. Unsigned Network, unsigned.io. Unsigned.io is a good website to go on. There's tons of guides. It's not updated like at all anymore. They have a very active Matrix chat you can join, but Arnoa Bootstrap set up for Sideband. On Android, it has an Android app called Sideband. It's great. I would look into this. I would look into this personally. it's nice. Or maybe the last one was 211. The last blog, they have an event log. This is like where he'll post up like minor updates regarding the development of projects they're involved in. That's just something to think about. The guy is super involved in the network, in like the recommended network. It's pretty cool. And I don't know, it's just like it's cool to have like these hardware solutions that rely on hardware, and maybe you don't need someone like in the long distance, or if you and your friends are camping, you have like an option if you're in a place that doesn't have good cell service. These are options. Yes, you have to carry two devices with you, and that can be somewhat cumbersome. Lily Tego is coming up with solutions, which is awesome. And I might look at Lily. I might look into Lily Go. Sorry, I'm saying Lily Tego like a retard, but Lily Go is coming up with some really good options where you get a full device, like almost like it's called the Tube Deck Plus. It's like $60, $80, $100, whatever. And you now have a device you can carry around that has LoRa built into it. And you can even, like they have something called the T-Connect Pro. It's kind of interesting. It supports LoRa out the box. And it allows you to essentially have a very portable LoRa band, like a Mestastic node or Reculum network, as long as it's supported on the device itself. These are things that I would hope people like just push into the back of their head, and realize that you're not going to always have the backing of these companies that do all of the encryption for you in the background. And that sucks. I wish it was offered to everyone. I wish everyone had the option for it, but it's just not the reality. Sometimes you have to take a part of this into your own hands to like a certain degree. Because if you don't, then you might be stuck in a position where you don't have the option anymore. I think LilyGo is a really good company to look into. Think about if you want to start building like your own nodes, or better yet, if you start looking at some decentralized options, or if you just want a device that does Meshtastic out the gate. Now you have to think about your country code, because each one is going to have a different antenna. Like US is like 915 megahertz, 868 for like the UK. It's $70 for it has a keyboard. It kind of looks like a BlackBerry, though. You do have to remember, and this also has GPS functioning, that this is still very beta software. Like, it's still in a lot of develop. There's still a lot of development that he needs to go into. So I wouldn't like put this like my life on the line with this. I would say even go get your ham radio license. Like even though it's not encrypted, start having backup solutions. Because you can't encrypt ham radio, I think, in like any country. Like, I don't think you can do that. This you can, because it doesn't fall under, like, depending on your country. Check your country's laws. I mean, it'd be very difficult to actually like triangle like this, I think. Obviously, check your country's laws, but at the same time, you should look into other alternative options in terms of like having encrypted channel options. Having the ability to take self-sovereign with your software and your data and your ability to really drive that home. I'll leave links in the show notes to all the services that I talked about, and none of them are affiliate links or anything. Just definitely check it out in terms of expanding your horizon. And I'll see you guys in the next one. I think I've yelled into the void enough, and I'm just kind of like very disappointed in the current state of our privacy, our democracy, and the security of the people. And I think this is going to be, it's only going to get worse. I'll do an update on this because I'm not entirely sure when that law is going to get passed in France. Talk to your legislators and let them know if they pass this, that they're not getting your vote anymore, and fuck them. You all have a good night.